37. The first working lesson given to Jesus. 21st March 1944. I see my little Jesus, a ray of sun on a rainy day. He is a little child about 5 years old, completely blonde and most beautiful in his simple blue to half his well-shaped calves. He is playing with some earth in the little kitchen garden. He makes little heaps with it, and on little branches, as if he were making a miniature forest. With little stones he builds little roads, and then he would like to build a little lake many hills. He therefore takes the bottom part of an old pot, and inters it up to its brim, and then fills it with water with a pit to a vessel, which is certainly used either for washing purposes, or to water the little garden. But the only result is that he wets it, particularly its sleeves. The water runs out of the chipped pot, which is probably also cracked, and the lake dries up. Joseph appears, and for some time he stands very quietly watching the work of the child and smiles. It is a sight, indeed, that makes one smile. Then, to prevent Jesus from getting more wet, he calls him. Jesus turns round smiling, and when he sees Joseph, he him with his little arms stretched out. Joseph with the edge of his short working tunic dries the little hands which are soiled and wet, and then there is a sweet conversation between the two. Jesus explains his work and his game, and the difficulties he met in it. To make a lake like the Lake of Gennesaret. I therefore suppose that they have either spoken to him about it, or they had taken him to. He wanted to make a little one for his own delight. This was Tiberias, there was Magdala, over there Capernaum, this was the road. Nazareth going through Cana. He wanted to launch some little boats in the lake, these leaves are boats, and he wanted to go over. But the water runs away. Joseph watches and takes an interest as it were a very serious matter. He then proposes to make the following day, but not with an old cracked pot, but with a small wooden basin, well coated with pitch and stucco, in which Jesus launched small real wooden boats which Joseph would teach him how to make. Just then, he was bringing him some small working tools, that he might learn to use them, without any fatigue.
So I will be able to help you,
Jesus says, smiling.
So you will help me, and you will become a clever carpenter. Come and see him.
And they go into the workshop. Joseph shows him a tiny saw, some very small screwdrivers, a plane suitable for a doll, which are all lying on the bench of a budding carpenter of little Jesus's size.
See, the saw, you must put this piece of wood like that. You then take the saw like that, and make it not catch your fingers, you start sawing. Try.
And the lesson begins. And Jesus, blushing with the effort and pressing his lips together, saws the piece of wood carefully, and then though it is not perfectly straight, he thinks it is nice. Joseph praises him, and with patience and love teaches him how to work. Comes back. She had certainly gone out, and she looks in at the door. Joseph and Jesus do not see her, because she is behind. Her smile seeing how zealously Jesus is working with the plane, and how loving Joseph is in teaching him. But Jesus must have he turns round, sees his mother and runs towards her, showing her the little piece of wood not yet finished. Mary admires bends down to kiss Jesus. She tidies up his ruffled curls, wipes the perspiration on his hot face, and listens with love. Jesus, who promises to make her a little stool, so that she will be more comfortable when working. Joseph standing near the tiny one hand resting on his side, looks and smiles. I have thus been present at the first work lesson of my Jesus. And all the family is within me. Jesus says,
I have consoled you, my dear soul, with a vision of my childhood, which was happy. It because it was surrounded by the love of two saints, the greatest the world ever had. They say that Joseph was my foster father. If, being a man, he could not feed me with milk, as my mother Mary did, he worked very hard indeed, to give me bread and he had the loving kindness of a real mother. From him I learned, and never had a pupil a kinder teacher, I learned everything that made and a man who is to earn his own bread. If my intelligence, that of the Son of God, was perfect, you must consider and believe. Not want to deviate from the attributes and attainments of my own age group ostentatiously. Therefore, by lowering my divine connection to that of a human intellectual perfection, I submitted myself to having a man as my teacher, and to the need of a teacher. If I willingly, that does not deprive me of the merit of submitting myself to man, neither does it deprive the just man of the merit of being the perfect mind with the ideas which are necessary to life. Not even now that I am in heaven can I forget the happy hours I spent beside, as if he were playing with me, guided me to the point of being capable of working. And when I look at my putative father, I see once kitchen garden and the smoky workshop, and I still appear to see mother peep in with her beautiful smile which turned the place into paradise. Happy. How much family should learn from the perfection of this couple who loved each other as nobody else ever loved. Joseph was the, and as such, his authority was undisputed, and indisputable. Before it, the spouse and mother of God, bent reverent, submitted himself willingly. Whatever Joseph decided to do, was well done. There were no discussions, no punctilious positions. His word was our little law. And yet, how much humility there was in him. There never was any abuse of precision against reason, only because he was the head of the family. His spouse was his sweet advisor. And if in her deep humility herself the servant of her consort, he drew from her wisdom a full of grace, light to guide him in all events. And I grew like planted by vigorous trees, between those two loves, that interlaced above me, to protect me, and love me. No. As to ignore the world, because of my age, I did not regret being absent from paradise. God the Father and the Holy Spirit, because Mary was full of them. And the angels dwelt there, because nothing drove them away from that house. And one day, had become flesh and was Joseph, an angelical soul freed from the burden of the flesh, intent only on serving God and his kingdom as the seraphim love him. Joseph's look. It was as placid and pure as the brightness of a star unaware of worldly concupiscence. Our peace, and our strength. Many think that I did not suffer as a human being, when the holy glance of the guardian of our home was death. If I was God, and as such I was aware of the happy destiny of Joseph, and consequently I was not sorry for his death. For a short time in limbo, I was going to open heaven to him, as a man I cried bitterly in the house now empty and deprived of his presence. Cried over my dead friend, and should I not have cried over my holy friend, on whose chest I had slept, when I was a little boy, and received so much love in so many years? Finally, I would like to draw the attention of parents to how Joseph made a clever work without any help of pedagogical learning. As soon as I was old enough to handle tools, he did not let me lead a life of idleness to work, and he made use of my love for Mary as the means to spur me to work. I was to make useful things for mother. That is the respect which every son should have for his mother, and the teaching for the future carpenter was based on that respectful and loving incentive. Now the families in which the little ones are taught to love work as a means of pleasing their parents. Children, nowadays, are the tyrants. They grow hard, indifferent, ill-mannered towards their parents. They consider their parents as their servants, their slaves. Love their parents and they are scarcely loved by them. The reason is that, while you allow your children to become objectionable over, you become detached from them with shameful indifference. They are everybody's children, except yours, O parents of the 20th. They are the children of the nurse, of the governess, of the college, if you are rich people. They belong to their companions, they are the streets, of the schools, if you are poor. But they are not yours. You, mothers, give birth to them, and that is all. Fathers, do exactly the same. But a son is not only flesh. He has a mind, a heart, a soul. Believe more entitled, and more obliged than a father and a mother to form that mind, that heart, that soul. A family is necessary. Just exist. There is no theory or progress capable of destroying this truth without causing ruin. A shattered family killed men and women who in future will be more perverted, and will cause greater and greater ruin. And I tell you most solemnly that if there were no more marriages, and no more children on the earth, rather than have families less united than the tribes of monkeys, rules of virtue, of work, of love, of religion, but a Babel in which everyone lives on his own like disengaged gears, with broken families. You break up the most holy way of social living and you see, and suffer the consequences. Thus, if you so wish. But do not complain, if this world is becoming a deeper and deeper hell, a dwelling place of monsters and nations. You want it. Let it be so.